Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, Sag Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
High noon, Jones and Keith here on WEEI. It's a tier Tuesday. We have tiered off all the NFL teams, Pats included.
They're Super Bowl or bust, by the way.
Yeah.
Spoiler.
Yeah.
You can check the whole thing out at Jones and Keith, Twitter and Instagram.
Go seek those out.
Yeah.
At Jones and Keith, at Keith21, at Jones WEEI. You can find those there. We'll have a Kiefer Madness for you coming up about 45 minutes from now every Tuesday at 12:45. But right now, on Tuesday at high noon, it's a Tommy Tuesday with Tommy Curran from NBC Sports Boston. He is brought to you by your New England Chevy dealers. Together, let's drive, and by Shaw's and Star Market. Go shopping and get rewarded. Tommy Curran, how are we doing this week?
Tremendous. How are you, boys?
Oh, excellent. We're doing great. We've been looking at sort of how things are shaping up in the AFC. We all got a chance to kick back and watch football this weekend with the Patriots playing on Thursday night. Do you think it was a positive weekend for the Patriots with a team like Kansas City losing, or a not-so-good weekend with a team like Denver winning and staying at least at the moment as the number one seed in the AFC?
I think it's a positive in that you didn't see anybody that really said to you, outside of Buffalo, holy crap, that team is unbeatable. And I don't know if Buffalo even said that, but you see why Josh Allen is kind of the gold standard right now in 2025. He's fairly unstoppable when he gets in a groove, and he's going to remain that way for a few more years. So, you know, we're having a lot of conversations right now about who the best quarterback in the league is at this moment, who you'd like to have for the next 5 years. I think Josh Allen still remains far and away the best quarterback. The interesting thing, I did a little exercise last night and looked at the upcoming opponents for each of the teams that the Patriots would be most in competition with. Indianapolis has every single game against a capable team. And if the low bar being Houston and Jacksonville. They're playing Jacksonville twice, Houston once. Every single game is against a good team. Denver's got four or five. Buffalo's got the Eagles. They have a litany of good teams. The Patriots have the Ravens and the Bills. So the schedule is very favorable for the Patriots, very favorable compared to these other teams who have semi-gauntlets down the stretch.
Yeah, and I wonder even how good are the Ravens. Like, I was watching some of that game this weekend, and I could maybe say, hey, it's a division game, whatever else, but just Lamar Jackson himself doesn't look right. So I know we keep saying that's one, and I even say, like, all right, even if they lose those two games, they're 13-4, but now I'm not even so sure how tough the Baltimore game is.
No, and I agree with you. You never know which Sunday you're going to get which blend of each team, Patriots included. You never know exactly what you're going to get. So, you know, Baltimore has mounted very, very little pass rush, and they can't protect. And some of that was based on the time that Lamar was out and the number of sacks taken. But, you know, Baltimore has that Achilles heel. The Achilles heel for Denver is they don't have any offensive potency at all. You know, the Achilles heel for the Bills is they cannot stop the run. And that's, to go back to the Patriots, that's one thing. How does your strength match up with the Achilles heel of an opponent? And that's one thing that I think the Patriots really would love to see develop over the last six games is a more potent running game that is getting you 4 to 5 on a regular basis and not home run runs that end up altering the overall statistics. I mean, they need to be able to line up and make four when they need it on first down, so you're in second and six instead of second and nine.
Yeah, I would look at potential Achilles heels, and the running game is one. You know, they've bogged down a little bit offensively in the red zone. Their slow starts on defense, probably another one. I do look at their defense, and I wonder how much of it I can truly believe in as like a championship caliber defense. I guess the way to define that for me would be if they had to run into Lamar and Mahomes back to back, or they had to run into Allen and Lamar back to back, or whatever combination. Is this defense good enough to take down two quarterbacks like that in a row? Do you think it's a championship caliber defense?
At this juncture, I don't think it is, just based upon the fact that they are the worst team in the league in the red zone. They're like 71% touchdowns against, which I believe is 31st in the league in the red zone. And that's against a collection of teams mostly that aren't that good. So teams get inside their 20s, they're scoring touchdowns 71% of the time, and they have yet to stop a team all season that's gotten first and 10 in a goal-to-go situation, or first and goal. They're 100% touchdown rate. So if you have a problem on first drives, which clearly the Patriots have had that, and you're down 7-0 against a good team who then gets in your red zone, it's a pretty good chance it's going to be 14-0. Now that's, doomsaying and apocalyptic talk and what ifs on a negative side, but I'm sure that they're looking at it too and saying, God, what are we doing in the red zone that's allowing these touchdowns repeatedly every time someone gets in there?
How much of that is having a first-year defensive play caller, or how much of that do you think is just on the players?
I think a lot of it's on the players. I think that, maybe some of it's on the play callers too. For instance, the touchdown that was allowed, and I'm not locking in. To me, Mr. Armchair Defensive Coordinator, They had a red zone situation a couple weeks ago where it looked like they could have played zone and passed someone off, and they didn't. Gonzalez stuck with someone, or he got caught in the wash and ended up with an open touchdown. I think it might have been against Tampa.
Is that the Abuka one? Yeah.
I think it was the Abuka one. Yep. Yeah, thank you. Mm-hmm. Do they look at that and say, okay, that happened, so next time we do it this way? And that's the one thing about Bill Belichick teams that always was present. They would have four or five games where you're like, well, clearly this is a problem. And then they'd get in the lab and they'd fix it. So nothing is forever, I think, if you have time to spend on things as coaches. If you see an Achilles heel, you try and bolster it so that it doesn't remain an Achilles heel. Mm. So I think that would be something that you could look at. And it's probably a combo of trying to understand what these guys do best and how the communication is best down in the red zone. But that to me seems a spot that I would be leery of when I look at, is this a championship defense? You need to get off the field and settle for three sometimes inside the red zone.
Tommy Curran, NBC Sports Boston, every Tuesday at high noon here on Jones and Keefe. Not to give you the Tommy Curran surprise question of the week, Hunter Henry style.
Yeah.
But were you surprised Milton Williams went on IR, especially based on the way Vrabel seemed to be talking about it in the aftermath of Thursday Night Football? There's like a mini bye after Thursday night. There's a bye week coming up. It didn't sound like Vrabel was talking about a guy who was going to be out for that long. Did that surprise you at all that he was placed on IR?
No, because clearly, they're not going to put their best player on IR if he's fine and dandy. I think a lot of us have had ankle sprains, and in the moment you feel like, hey, I can scoot around on this a little bit, and then an hour and a half later it's an absolute balloon and you can't put any weight on it at all. So I'm not surprised. I think just based on that real life experience that I think we've all had with ankles at different times, so I didn't look at that. I just defer. I'm not surprised. They know better than us on injuries. Certainly if your best player has an ankle that's a balloon and you want him to be good down the stretch, put him on IR, bring other guys up so that you can fill in behind him.
Travion Henderson, over the last 3 weeks, he had, it was 19 touches, then 15, then 24 in the most recent game against the Jets. Do you think that should continue even when Ramondre Stevenson comes back, or how would you use Travion Henderson the rest of the way?
I don't think it should continue when Ramondre comes back, because there's just a certain amount of plays you have on offense, and you want to divvy them up so one guy's not getting too much, especially if the strength of Ramondre is probably in between the tackles running in a way that it generally isn't for Henderson. But I do absolutely sense that Henderson is running with much, much more confidence right now and much more decisive about what he wants to do with the football when he gets it, which was coming. And you knew that he was going to, once he got used to the National Football League and regular season games, he would become more confident. But, you know, those red zone runs that he had last week were just ridiculously impressive, I thought. Both of them, one with power, a couple with power, and then one where he just stopped on a dime and left a Jets defender grasping at air. It just shows you that he does have unique explosive skill that they haven't had in the backfield for a while.
Time for this week's Drake Take from Tom E. Curran, presented by your New England Chevy dealers. Together, let's drive. We were talking about this earlier in the show, Tom. Joe Burrow versus Drake May could have been the matchup on the field this week. Doesn't sound like that's going to be the case. Burrow turns 29 in December. He is missing a bunch of games for the third time in his career. A lot of people are worried about Drake May missing games given his play style, but he's in his early 20s. He's an MVP candidate. If you were going to start a franchise right now, Joe Burrow or Drake May, who would you start with?
I would take the 23-year-old player who doesn't get hurt all the time in a heartbeat. And Joe Burrow's tremendous, and I love the way he plays at the ends of games and his confidence and his athletic ability, but he just gets hurt too much. And that has absolutely punctured Cincinnati's hopes season after season since their Super Bowl appearance. So I would 1,000,000% take Drake May. And when you look at the 11 games played this season, the only time the Patriots have lost are when Drake May didn't play at his best. No one has yet really beaten Drake May. I mean, the unforced errors against the Raiders and the unforced errors against Pittsburgh were kind of on him. The nature of the picks, the nature of the fumble and pick against the Raiders, those were on him. So to me, I look at his performance and say the team could be 11-0 if he didn't have two. And you're allowed to have an off game in your second season in the league, especially early in the year. But there's very few guys that I would take in the league ahead of Drake May, if any, based upon his age. Now, if you want to say, who would you take for the rest of the season to be your quarterback for a team, I'd still have a hard time, but I don't think I would be able to say Drake May over Josh Allen or Patrick Mahomes based upon what we've watched over the last 6 years from both of those guys. But I don't know if anybody I would take for the combination of toughness, leadership, on-field tone, and athleticism over Drake May.
Yeah, it is amazing when you think about even the most optimistic prediction for the season and the player wasn't this. Like, even if you thought they were going to win a bunch of games, I don't think anybody thought he'd get MVP votes, let alone might win the MVP. And that's kind of where we're at 11 games in.
Yeah, I mean, I remember saying, you know, we have to do the forecast, as we all do at the beginning of the season. I thought, you know, if he throws for 3,800 yards and he's 2-1 touchdown to interception, that's a great second year, because last year was 15-10. And right now, he actually has played as many games as he did. Actually, he has as many attempts right now as he did. Excuse me. He has as many plays. I think it's like 426 right now as he did through this point last year, or through the entirety of 2024. So you can look at the stats, and it is apples to apples. He's played as many plays this year as he has last year, and just go apples to apples on things like average depth of target, yards per completion, and they're, you know, 40-50% higher than they were last year. Finished the last season 15-10 with picks. I'm not positive where he is right now. It's like 5 picks.
20-5. Yeah, 20 touchdowns, 5 picks. Yeah.
So he's 4-1, and I did not think that was about to happen.
No. No, I mean, I don't think anybody did. And I think even some of the most optimistic like us couldn't have him much higher than like the top 20 coming into the league. And now he might be, you know, the number one quarterback at this point in the MVP race. Tom, we've spent some time today after the Monday night game last night looking at the Raiders and kind of the disaster they've become. They're 2-8. If they were 8-2, I don't know about you, but I personally would be giving Brady a lot of credit. I'd say he has some influence and some input there. I'd imagine he has influence and input when it comes to the coach and quarterback, Pete Carroll and Geno Smith. It's not going well. How much influence, how much impact do you think Tom Brady has with that ownership group in Vegas?
Well, they've stated a number of times that he's got incredible impact and influence. So anything that doesn't work, I would think visits on Brady as well. And I think that that's inevitable. Like when a team is trying to rebuild, you have to give it the latitude. And if it does rebuild quickly, like the Patriots have, you have to give them the credit. I think it's slower to dole out blame for a team that sucks after it's been sucking because you don't expect a miraculous turnaround. You're like, well, they're still trying to figure out what they want. Do they want a 73-year-old coach? Do they want a retread quarterback? What do they want to be? They're getting information right now that indicates maybe we need to go in a different direction. That's why I would have been slower to criticize the Patriots if they were on their way to an 8-9 season and Drake May was, you know, not 20-5, but 17-8 touchdowns to interceptions. I would say at that point, no, they're on the right track. There's still a lot of work to do. But you're slow to blame a team when it's trying to rebuild, I think, as long as you're seeing progress. The Patriots of 2024, certainly the progress was not there. They got worse. They got more dysfunctional. And as a result, you know, that was, okay, that's a disaster. That's on them. There's no signs of life that you want to build around. So they had to make a change. But, you know, I think you also blame and look at, okay, what are they doing that did or didn't work? And I think they're getting information right now that, okay, this isn't working.
What did you think of the latest statement from Belichick Enterprises where you say, look, I know a lot of people think I'm going to take the Giants job, but fear not, I'm staying here in North Carolina.
I feel like he didn't write it.
Yeah.
Because knowing Bill as I do, he would never have misspelled waiver.
Oh, interesting.
So yeah, we're not writers, Tom.
That was
snuck
over
right by the goalie over here. I didn't see that.
Never would have misspelled waiver. They had it on the waiver wire as opposed to waiver in terms of being unsure. They had WAI. No, Bill wouldn't have done that. Bill would not make that mistake.
Interesting.
Okay.
Do you think he's at North Carolina next year?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. All right.
Just out of spite.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just seriously. Hanging on for dear life. Yeah. Okay. Well, he's Tommy Curran. You can check out his work at NBC Sports Boston. He joins us every Tuesday here on Jones and Keefe. We call it a Tommy Tuesday. Check him out on Thursday on WEEI Afternoons, and of course Sundays as well. Tom, we appreciate the time. We'll talk to you next week.
I'll just add, too, they have shown signs of life, which would be encouraging if you're in the program and you're Bill Belichick to say it's working a little bit. So I think that to ignore the signs of life that they have shown over the last three or so games would be signs of life.
They may miss a bowl game when everybody gets invited to a bowl game.
Those signs went back away against Wake. But, yeah, okay.
I got you.
All right. Well, Tom, we'll talk next week. Thank you.
All right, guys.
Thank you.
Tommy Curran, NBC Sports Boston. You can follow him on Twitter at Tom E. Curran. Interesting stuff there. You know, the Burrow May discussion. Well, we'll get back into it, but that's wild. If you said in the offseason,
do you take May over Burrow?
Yeah, please. Like, that'd be a call we'd laugh off the line.
Correct.
And now you're sitting here, it's almost Thanksgiving, and it's like all of us are taking Drake May over Joe Burrow.
Yeah.
Well, wild.
Pretty much.
We'll give you our answers on that, plus what other lessons the Patriots can learn from the Joe Burrow experience in Cincinnati. Yet another lost season for him. 617-779-7937. You can jump in there. We got a key for madness for you at 1245. We'll get to all of it. That was Drake May yesterday on WEEI Afternoons.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Total, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
You can check out the full interview on the Audacy app, AUDACY. Get it on your phone. It's free. It's easy. You can take it with you wherever you go. Just use the rewind feature to listen to Drake Bay or Mike Vrabel with The Greg Hill Show or the surprise question of the week with Hunter Henry.
He's loving them. I think he's starting to look forward to it.
Kind of
not hate it.
Okay. That's how I would put it. Yeah, I wouldn't say he likes it.
No, that's fine.
He just doesn't hate it.
Starting somewhere.
As much as he used to. He hates it less.
Yeah,
that's the right way to say it.
Chipping away. But that's what we're doing.
You can listen to that if you'd like on the Odyssey app. Hear him hate the segment less by less, little by little each week.
That's good.
Again, it's right there for you. But Drake May to me against Joe Burrow, and we were just talking about this a little bit with Tommy Curran. It's not going to be the matchup on the field. But there are lessons to learn from how Cincinnati built around Joe Burrow and already what the Patriots have done. And you could say Mike Vrabel came in and said, we're not going to let the same thing happen to Drake May that happened to Joe Burrow. And we'll get back into the number four pick. The Patriots nailed that, I think, compared to any realistic options out there. And I found something that might surprise Patriots fans.
Ooh,
a lot of you were also not Will Campbell fans, and we have proof. which we'll get to.
That's true.
But out of the realistic names, the Patriots could have taken it four instead of Will Campbell. I mean, I guess Membu was one, and it's the same position, and I guess he's off to a good start with the Jets. How would anybody possibly know? I'm just relying on PFF grades and things like that. Jets are terrible. You're good with Will Campbell. I think most people are fine with that. But like Ashton Jeanty, Tyler Warren, Teteroa McMillan, I mean, even guys like Abdul Carter and Travis Hunter who went ahead of Will Campbell, you know, I'm trying to think of who else is on the list. Mason Graham, I guess, has been pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
But I think you nailed that pick and you protected Drake May, rather, with Will Campbell, like the Bengals have never done with Joe Burrow. He's about to turn 29, Keith. He's missing games for the third time in his career. The Twitch chat joked about this earlier today. He's already won Comeback Player of the Year twice.
He's on pace for
a third. He's going to be a candidate next year. They should rename the award, as you said earlier, after Joe Burrow.
Yeah.
Before he's 30. Do you think he's going to be any better after 30 or any healthier after 30?
Not trending that way.
And yet, he is a great big game player. He's been to a Super Bowl. He's 5-2 lifetime in the postseason. And if the Bengals could ever keep him upright and healthy, they'd be in a much better spot. But that goes back to their cheap ownership, and that goes back to their bad coach and their poor personnel mistakes and falling in love with shiny objects, which admittedly I love too, Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins, and not building things properly around Drake May. Joe Burrow, like the Patriots have around Drake May. Is that a fair narrative?
So I think they actually started it in a pretty positive way. If you're Joe Burrow, they take him at the first overall pick in 2020. So clearly the Bengals were horrible the year before. He's the first pick in the draft. The first pick of the second round, they took T. Higgins. Pretty good.
Yeah.
Next year, because Burrow gets hurt, doesn't play the whole year, which is sort of a theme of his career, they have a really high draft pick, and they take his college teammate, Ja'Marr Chase, who might be the best receiver in the league, spitting aside, right?
Yeah.
So they take two wide receivers, one in his draft, one the very next year. I don't think many quarterbacks would complain about that. And they go to the Super Bowl, but they overcome the worst offensive line.
There was proof of concept on the field.
At first, you're like, all right,
they got him killed as a rookie, but by year two, they're in the Super Bowl and could have won that Super Bowl.
And I'm like, okay, quarterback, receiver, that makes sense. In the modern NFL, you have a really good quarterback, really good receiver, and you can go places. And they overcame the worst offensive line ever to get that far. And so then they tried going about it in free agency. I think they had some swings and misses to try to beef up the O-line. They've never had a really good running game at all. Now, you can't have everything, right? Like, you have Chase and Higgins. So like, I don't feel all that bad for Burrow in that sense. But with the exception of one season, he's had bad defenses all the time around him. So, like, his margin of error is very slim. And the O-lines have been pretty atrocious.
Yeah.
So, like, yeah, I think the Patriots saw, all right, Drake May plays last year. And this is a little bit different, too, right? Because Vrabel had nothing to do with last year's team, and obviously. But he comes in this year, he's like, all right, we're keeping one of those offensive linemen. Like, we can't have Drake May behind, you know, three of those guys that started last year. We're going to wipe it clean with the exception of Onwenu. We are going to get him some receivers, but we're also going to help the entire team and make the defense really good. And if we have a top 10 defense, look what that's doing for Bo Nix.
See, and
look
that,
what that's doing for some of these other quarterbacks.
That to me is probably a bigger contrast than the Bengals, because you're right. The Bengals have tried on the offensive line. I don't know how hard, but there have been draft picks and free agent signings. Outside of them paying Trey Hendrickson, I'm not sure how hard they've really tried on defense. The Pats came out and spent a ton on defense this offseason.
They did.
I mean, they really did. Whether it was Milton Williams or Carlton Davis or whomever, Landry, they spent a lot of money. So the Bengals don't do that. And if you want to say it goes all the way to the top and the investment in the team, I have plenty of criticisms about Robert and Jonathan and Kraft's ownership, but it's better than the Bengals. As bad as it was the last couple of years, it's better than the Bengals.
Yeah, they don't have to walk across the street to go to practice. The Bengals, like when they show those images of like going across,
walk across the street,
yeah.
They were selling TVs out of the stadium, right? Yeah. Like when they upgraded the TVs in the stadium, they were selling TVs like off the back of trucks. Seriously. So like
it's
not
right
that bad.
To Burrow. They just hated it to Burrow.
I wouldn't go too far with the ownership thing, but if you're asking me what would I take, you know, the Brown family or the Krafts, I would take the Krafts in that scenario.
Mm-hmm.
So you could say it starts at the top and the investment in Mike Vrabel, whereas the Bengals have stood by Zach Taylor, who's no good. They pretty much just, you know, pray that Joe Burrow makes it through a year and they'll be in the mix at the end of the year.
Yeah.
And even a season ago last year, we played in 17 games. They were 9-8. They still missed the playoffs.
They had a horrible start. The Patriots beat them. Gerard Mayo beat them.
Good point. So they kept them out.
Yeah.
So, look, I do think the Patriots already have, if not learned directly from Joe Burrow, some of the lessons the Bengals should have applied to Burrow, they've already applied to Drake May.
And a big part of it, too, is like you just have so much more confidence watching Mike Vrabel coach 100%. Than Zachary Taylor.
100%.
That's a huge part of it.
So I do think, and I don't want to be inconsistent on this, they are protecting May and they invested in May by taking Campbell at pick 4. It's not like they didn't get a receiver, though, so I don't want to go too far with that. I mean, they did get Stephon Diggs, who feels like, if not quite vintage Steph Diggs, he is a number one.
Well, they got him 2 receivers.
He's the best receiver they've had.
Or 3. I mean, they got him 2 veterans. And that just raised the level, right? Like, Mac Hollins, you at least know, is an NFL receiver. And then they took a stab on a guy in the 3rd round. That's not like a 7th round flyer pick. That's a real draft
pick.
Let's
ask it then. What bigger factor in May's turnaround this year? Take coaching out of it and ownership out of it and the offensive coordinator out of it. Who's a bigger factor in May's turnaround? Is it Will Campbell or is it Steph Diggs?
I think it's Steph Diggs.
I probably would answer it Diggs as well, actually.
I think it's Diggs, although I do think if you want to answer Campbell, I think it's fair because you're like, well, if the alternative is Vedarian Lowe,
right.
Not to pile on that guy, but you know what I mean? Like, if it's somebody like as bad as what they had last year and it's not close to average, then you might say it's Campbell because he could still, you know, he has time to make plays. But I think Steph Diggs, because you look at what he did in the Buffalo game, which is really what launched this whole thing into like legitimizing him and legitimizing the team. And he was the biggest part besides Drake May in that game was Steph Diggs. And when they've needed him, he's been there. And I think that's given May a ton of confidence. It's made the other receivers better. Like, I just think it's helped the whole team. But they're both clearly important. But I would say in this case, the real number one receiver.
Yeah. I mean, I would say that. So, look, maybe they haven't built it all that differently than Cincinnati. Or it wasn't an either-or proposition.
Well, no,
they
like,
were able to get both. But
a significant invest. Like, when you're not money-wise, but when you're talking about, like, what you have, like your assets. The
number four
pick. Yeah, it's like the biggest thing they've had besides the number 3 pick when they took May.
Right. And their plan was Godwin. But they ended up going to a fallback plan and Diggs. So, especially in
Godwin
that light.
And Stanley, like, there's a different version of this where maybe they get the veteran left tackle and the veteran receiver, and, like, who knows what they do with the draft.
That's a good point. So, I would just look at it and say where they invested was more in Campbell than Diggs.
Yes.
Diggs might be the bigger reason for the turnaround, but I agree with you on that. It's crazy, though. Curran, and I don't mean to pile on with this.
Yeah.
But we asked Curran at the beginning of the year, J.J. McCarthy or Drake May. He's like, J.J. McCarthy, which is getting thrown in his face a lot.
Who amongst us hasn't had a swing?
I mean, look, I'll face the music again on Ashton Jeanty coming up. We were joking about this off the air. It's like worst takes ever. I didn't like Jokic.
Yeah.
I laughed off the idea of Jokic. He's like a top 10 all-time NBA player or knocking on the door to it.
Yeah,
so like
we
all have bad takes.
Oh, sure.
But
I would still take J.J. McCarthy.
Nick has that ready.
I mean, at some point we're gonna have to bring that up again to him. But he went from taking McCarthy over May to now he's like, oh yeah, if I'm starting a team, May over Burrow. Like, even Curran's there. We started the show talking about this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Keith, reiterate why you would start a franchise with Drake May over Joe Burrow.
Burrow's out half the time. He's 6 seasons into his career. He's been healthy for 3 of them. The other three he hasn't been. And then even in those three seasons, he made the playoffs twice, right? So it's now a six-year run as the number one overall pick. And he's awesome. Like, when he's healthy, you see him play, he's awesome. He's the only guy in the AFC that can say, I went into Kansas City and beat him. Now that Tom Brady's not playing, he can say, I went into Kansas City and I beat Patrick Mahomes. He has five playoff wins in just two appearances. So, like, that's great. And he gets more benefit of the doubt in, like, obviously the postseason than Lamar Jackson or Josh Allen would, even though those guys are far more consistent and healthy in the regular season and have had more wins in the regular season and things like that. But Drake May is also 6 years younger. He has played every game he's needed to play. I know, you know, he's gotten knocked out last year and whatever, but to this point, small sample, but Joe Burrow is already out for the season in his rookie year, then came back for a couple, then was out again for the season. And now this year's only played two games. So I would say the durability thus far that Drake May has shown, and being 6 years younger.
Yeah, I mean, the people fear, there's all these nanas worried about Drake May getting hurt. Drake May has never missed a start since he took the job from Jacoby Brissett. He hasn't. And I'll keep reiterating that until he misses one. Yeah. He hasn't missed one. Joe Burrow misses starts all the time. So, Joe, what you fear with Drake May is what happens with Joe Burrow. That's reality with Burrow. I think it does go beyond just the health, though. And Burrow's played in 10, 16, 16, 10, 17, and now two games in his career. But I think when you look at May and what level of play he is at age 23, he's more mobile than Burrow. Like, I think there are actual reasons on the field to take him over Burrow as well. But if I'm starting a franchise, I agree. You agree, Keith. Curran agrees. I think most people here in New England anyway agree. May or Burrow? The answer is May. Let's rephrase the question.
All right.
The Broncos are the one seed. You got to go win an AFC championship game at Denver. Burrow or May?
Burrow.
I think that's probably the right way to answer that one.
We've
never seen Mayo in a play. May in a playoff game, right?
Yeah, it's one of those things.
So he might
where...
be Lamar. He might be Herbert. He might get there and not win his first game. Or in the case of, you know, Lamar, crap his pants in his first one.
Yeah, we don't know. It's wild. You could go on like a Tom Brady-like streak and not lose for three straight postseasons, right? Like, there's that, or there's like Herbert.
He might be able to do it.
We don't know yet.
We know Burrow can. We don't know if May can. So, you got to win a big playoff game on the road. I'm just using Denver to illustrate the point.
Yeah.
That one I'd take Burrow.
That's actually a fun exercise. If you have, you know, fourth quarter road playoff game, what quarterback do you want for one game-winning drive? That's where, like, somebody like Bo Nix, who you would not take over most quarterbacks for the whole game.
Yeah, but he'd do better on that list.
But
for
at
sure.
the end, you're like, oh, I kind of like him. Or like Baker Mayfield or some of those guys that just seem to be a little bit more clutch. And Drake May, like, there hasn't been a ton of opportunity for it. So, like, when he does it in the playoffs, I mean, his first playoff game this year will be his first playoff game of his career. So then we'll start to write another chapter.
I like this text. Volunteering their own worst take ever.
Oh, that's not a bad game.
They wanted Dom Capers over Bill Belichick in 99.
Good one.
I guess we'll go year 2000, but maybe calendar year 99.
Like a 26-year-old bad take, but you still remember it. That's how bad it was.
Yeah, should we do that? The worst?
I'm trying to think.
Your worst take.
I really like Chad Jackson.
Jump in line.
That was a bad one. A lot of receivers I liked were probably where I was at. Chad Jackson. I thought Josh Gordon was going to be awesome when he came here.
He was not bad when he came here, though.
Josh Gordon?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was the number one receiver, but he was still good.
Don't talk about availability.
He was not available that often.
No.
No.
I called off the Super Bowl the year that Josh Gordon was huffing and puffing and walked off the field in Pittsburgh and quit the game early. I called off the Super Bowl that year. They won it, you know, like a month later.
I got old takes exposed, Bragg, once for...
Only once.
I remember... Mm-hmm. And it was because I hated the Terry Rozier pick during the draft.
Yeah, I remember that.
And then he had like one good playoff game. They're like, oh, yeah, take that or whatever. And I'm like, Terry Rozier? That's the guy? I'm getting old takes for Rozier?
You should old takes, freezing cold takes
I
them.
I should.
Now that he's, you know,
in the
facing prison time.
Guys in the slammer?
Yeah. That's what we should do. You should freezing cold takes.
See what happens there.
Copyright.
Yep.
Has that been copyrighted yet? Face. Let's copyright that idea.
They probably do it to themselves.
Yeah, they might.
They probably do. They seem to have a sense of humor about things.
Damn
so, yeah, they probably do. Yeah, but that's not a bad one. Worst takes of all time.
All right.
I'm trying to think what else.
Let's throw that on the
Definitely
list.
Definitely got a pile of them.
Let's throw that on the list.
Yeah.
I think those were all mine. I don't think I've had any other bad ones.
Oh, me thinking Caleb Williams was good, just getting there. He's a tough guy to figure out.
We both hated the Jaylen Brown pick. I know we were there leading the charge and booing that one.
Maybe that's it.
That's a pretty good one.
I thought that was a terrible pick.
Looking better this year.
Yep.
It is looking a little better.
I didn't want Devin McCourty. That's another one.
I didn't like that either.
A receiver in that draft. That's a bad take.
I wanted some Dez Bryant there. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. Dez Bryant.
Okay. All right, well, yeah. Maybe add that to the list.
Worst takes. Later. What do you have?
Oh, I thought that was every day from 10 to 2.
Yeah, sure. 617-779-7937. Stay tuned. We'll get to the madness. Kiefer Madness.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
But up next.
The suspect has been caught months after firing into his store with a gun and trying to burn it down with Molotov cocktails.
NBC 10's Sam Reed shows us something naughty but good.
One commenter saying, quote, the way my soul would have left my body.
She proceeds to pass gas by placing the camera on her bottom and passing the gas.
All right, here we go. It is time for the madness on Jones and Keefe, WEEI. I got a couple of stories here. One does not have a news story.
Okay.
But let me just get your thoughts on this as the holiday season is upon us. There'll be an upswing in shopping, I would imagine. Apparently, Target has a new policy for workers.
Okay.
You seen this? Heard about this?
No, I have not.
You
seen this? You know that?
Jimmy. The policy requires workers to smile, make eye contact with, and wave or greet a customer who comes within 10 feet. So if you get within the radius of an employee there.
I feel like I've seen a couple of horror movies about this.
Yeah, they're forced to smile at you, wave to you, and greet you.
Okay.
But if you're outside of that 10-feet zone, they're calling this the 10-4 policy
workers. What if they say hi to me or greet me and I'm like 11 feet away? Because I don't want to be greeted.
You don't want to be greeted. So that's what I'm at. You don't want to be greeted.
No.
You want to get in and get out of there.
Yeah.
You're not like looking for people to help you shop?
You should see the amount of time. Like if I didn't have to like chit-chat with anybody or talk with anybody and I could just like check out real quick.
Yeah.
That I could run into a store and out. It would be nice. An Olympics for that, Keith.
That's your sport?
Well, I'm the cheetah.
Gold medal.
That makes sense. I might be like an Olympic level performer.
I'm not there to dilly dally as well. I want to get in. I want to get out.
But I guess my question is, if they say hi to me and I'm outside of 10 feet, do they get in trouble for that?
No.
I don't want to get anybody in trouble. But like,
what, are you going to walk around with a tape measure?
Well, that is what I'm saying. Well, but they shouldn't just be shouting at everybody 15 feet away, going hello, hi. They shouldn't be doing that because I don't want that. I'm purposely going to avoid them.
So according to a Bloomberg report, consumer metrics rise when customers are greeted. Now, this does not appear to be the case for you.
I mean, look,
but they're suggesting
I'm
that
in the store. I'm buying something either way. You probably already had me.
But if you walk in the store, you're looking around, you're like, man, I didn't get greeted by anybody. Mm-hmm. I don't feel like buying anything. I feel like you're already there. You feel like buying something.
You Abe Simpson your way out? That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, right.
If you're already there, I'm buying what I'm buying. Regardless of you greeting, I will buy what I'm buying. That has nothing to do with it.
I think
I'll be annoyed when I leave if you greet me and slow me down, but I'll still buy what I'm buying.
This is just more work for the poor people that are working there, trying to do their job, trying to either put stuff away or whatever. Now they gotta like smile at everybody and like creep people out. I don't know how it's gonna work, but I don't need
the
people coming. Hello.
Again, I don't want to get anybody in trouble. Just
hello there.
Don't be saying hi to people 11 feet away and don't greet them.
No,
ignore them.
I agree.
If they're inside the bubble, say hi.
Do you like a greeter though at the beginning? Not that they're like mingling around the aisles, but
okay. No.
But it doesn't, like, that doesn't put a smile on your face.
No, I'll allow.
Hello, sir.
The guy at like Costco.
People shouldn't be allowed to talk in department stores.
The guy at Costco. The guy at Costco who like checks your receipt. I'm fine with that. Fine, check the receipt. Go for it. Put a little, highlight it. Go for it. That's fine.
Yeah. Sometimes there's a real log jam there.
Oh, it slows down.
I don't love that.
No, I don't love that either.
I'm like, I literally just paid for it right there.
They're checking.
And now I'm showing you right here.
They're checking. That's fine. I don't care.
I don't like that.
But don't say hi to me while you're doing it. Don't greet me. I'll allow the receipt check. I don't want any of the other stuff.
You don't like a little, hey, it's getting cold out there?
No.
You don't like any of that?
There's already enough of that. That's why 99% of my conversations in this office.
Yeah.
I already do that all day long.
It is a little chilly. Yeah. You wear the coat in the morning.
All right, so this is a different story. Let's go out to the state of Washington, Jones, where we have a situation at an airport.
And new tonight, we're learning more about a person who was able to get through TSA.
A person was able to get through TSA with. I'm giving you a with. What'd they get through the TSA with?
Got to be an emotional support animal of some sort.
Ooh, we've had the gator story. It's not a gator. It's not an emotional support alligator. It's not an animal. Well, it's not a creature.
I'm
going to tell you flat out right now, not a creature.
So I'm already barking up the wrong tree.
Yep.
No pun intended.
Literally.
Okay, they were able to sneak through
through TSA. So it's got to be something you can put on your persons.
Yeah, maybe like some
vape text line and Twitch saying vape.
Maybe like some stinky food, something that's really like it's gonna gross everybody
like
out.
Like a lot of old eggs, like hard boiled old
That's my official guess. Yeah,
it's a good guess.
Yeah.
And new tonight, we're learning more about a person who was able to get through TSA at PDX with a meat cleaver.
We're looking for meat cleaver.
Oh.
Jones, we're looking for meat cleaver.
Meat cleaver.
Like Leatherface in Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
It's your ex-wife's nickname, I thought.
They called it a meat cleaver.
Yeah, they called it a meat cleaver.
Oh, they didn't.
Yeah.
The TSA confirmed to Fox 12 that the meat cleaver was taken through airport security undetected, and that once the meat cleaver was discovered, all passed.
Good use of meat cleaver He has referred to it as a meat cleaver about five times.
Well, what's the alternative in his defense? Is there a synonym?
Big knife?
You could just cleaver.
Cleaver.
Yeah, you
cleaver.
Sure. Yeah.
Well, that's a good point,
Nick. You can't shorten it to meat. You got to go cleaver. For sure, yeah.
Well, he wasn't walking in there with meat. Yeah. He was walking in there with a meat cleaver, as it turns out. But that's a big old... Yeah. I mean, I guess you could sneak that in your bag, I guess, if they're not really looking for it. It's not huge. Dangerous weapon.
Yeah.
Dangerous weapon.
Oh, yeah. It'll chop up that meat. Mm-hmm.
The TSA confirmed to Fox 12 that the meat cleaver was taken through airport security undetected, and that once the meat cleaver was discovered, all passengers on the plane had to be rescreened.
Ugh. Rescreening. How pissed did you be then?
Real pissed.
You finally get in. You're on the plane. You sit down. That's a whole nightmare, no matter what you're doing. And then they're like, hey, guys. We missed one meat cleaver. Everybody out. You're like, now you're looking around, you're eyeballing everybody. You're like, who brought the meat cleaver?
Who's the meat cleaver guy?
Who brought the meat cleaver in?
I'm going to be late.
And then my thought
would be. The meat cleaver guy?
I wouldn't think it was like an innocent mistake. I'd be then terrified. Oh my God, somebody's trying to bring one of these in on the plane.
Right.
I don't like that.
Why is the text line yelling at you about PDX's Portland and it's not Washington? Portland is close to Washington State.
Oh, Portland.
Is the individual from Washington? Is that why? Why is everybody, text line's yelling at you about this? Multiple.
Oh my God.
What PDX are we doing? Is Portland. It's Oregon. It's not Washington, Keith.
Well, okay. All right. Jeez.
I was wondering what they're mad about.
Okay. I guess it's Portland.
Is it a Washington man?
Maybe it was a Washington man. All right. It's the Portland airport. Excuse me.
Big Pacific Northwest.
All right.
Yeah, seriously. We do very well out there.
The Sasquatch.
Yeah.
Of course, famous.
That's got to be our Sam Squatch.
All right. My bad. I'll have that one back. You guys are right. I'm wrong. I'm dumb.
Is it on the list for your worst
takes? Yeah, I put it up there.
All right, good.
Statement to Fox 12, a TSA spokesperson says, quote, TSA is aware that a passenger departing Portland International Airport on Thursday passed through the security checkpoint
with
a meat cleaver.
Okay,
there was.
So that's about 10 meat cleaver references now. That's fine.
In their carry-on bag. We take this matter very seriously.
Good.
We are reviewing the incident. An investigation is now underway to determine the circumstances of the event, and TSA says that appropriate corrective action will also be taken.
Okay.
What are you going to do to review the incident?
Pretty much, did you have a meat cleaver? Yes or no?
We missed the meat cleaver. That's the review.
We missed it. Everybody off the plane.
That one's on us.
We're going to check again, see if we missed
any
other.
Did they get to cut the line for security, or should they go back of the line?
I would hope they would make you like a side. Like, hey, you were on the meat cleaver plane. You get to go over here. We'll screen you real quick.
Yeah, we'll get you back in there.
We kind of drop the ball on that.
Yeah.
Because that would one thing I think would go off on detectors. And when they do like the x-ray bag, that would kind of stand
this
out.
This is what I mean when they're doing the review.
The giant knife. Yeah, it's fine.
That guy's just like asleep as it's going by.
Two people probably talking about the weather. They're probably being too social.
Small talk cost them.
That's what it was.
It was the small talk.
Probably being too social. Probably driving too nice to their coworker.
Probably not wrong.
Or to whoever was walking through just gabbing away, chit-chatting. Next thing you know, you're missing meat cleavers.
Yep.
That probably is what it was.
In their carry-on bag.
Yeah, thank you. Very good. All right, there you go. There's the madness today.
There's the madness.
With a meat cleaver.
Okay. Again, that was Portland, Keith.
Portland.
That's what that was.
Portland, Oregon, not Portland, Washington.
A lot of good texts here about their worst takes. Maybe we can revisit some of these.
Yeah, there's a lot. And I'm glad people, now, you know, there's no name attached to this. You're just, but at least you're admitting some things.
Yeah, you're just deep down admitting some of your worst takes.
I like that. This is an all-timer.
What's that?
If this person was in charge of the Celtics, we'd have Markelle Fultz on the team.
Markelle Fultz and Brandon Ingram.
But like Fultz over Tatum would be like an all-time. Like for the Sixers, that's an all-time horrible pick.
Greg Oden was better than Kevin Durant. Michael Bishop over Brady when Drew Bledsoe went down.
Now
this one is calling out other people's bad takes. That's not the spirit of the game, sir.
No. Call yourself.
Wiggy calling for a Cam Newton extension is an all-timer. That's not the game we're playing.
No, it's not. He's admitted that, though.
It's your own worst take.
Wiggy has said he was wrong about that.
Yeah. There's also a good name for it. Red hot freezing cold takes.
Okay, a little wordy, but I think it's something to work with.
It's a good name for the website, though.
Oh, for the website. Yeah, for the URL.
I think that's what you'd want.
I got it.
So there you go. That's the madness. Kiefer Madness every Tuesday, 12:45 here on Jones and Keefe. Speaking of bad takes, let's revisit me wanting Ashton Jeanty at pick 4. Looks like the Patriots got it right. Oh, and who is in charge of that pick, by the way? Tom Brady have any say there? I'd imagine he had say in Pete Carroll and Geno Smith. It is not going well for Tom Brady's Raiders. We'll get to that next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.